How many times have we seen Cook take a handoff and within a half a step, he's kind of hesitating. He's sitting there. Then he's back behind it. We saw numbers where Cook ran weak. He ran weak more than any back in the league last year. That's what he sees. That's what he does. So to just say, hey, we're not going to sign him. I don't care if he plays. Ray Davis start. Well, if you watch Ray, he's downhill. So he doesn't have the patience that Cook has. So while Cook is hesitating, then gets back behind it, Ray's probably running into guys because he's not letting it set up. There's a way that these running schemes all fit the style of the back. And if you go to a Ray Davis, you better start forcing doubles, maybe even going to some power to where he can get downhill and put his foot in the ground and go. There's a lot more that goes into it than just saying, hey, the O-line's great, so anybody back there works. Nah, it's not the way it is.
Former Bills offensive lineman Jerry Ostrowski, 100 games in the NFL with the Bills, on the differences in the Bills running backs and how it is not as easy as just, oh, the next guy goes in. You know, call the same plays. He went so far as to say, in our conversation yesterday, I'm talking with Jerry and Joe Marino on the Bill Squad show, that he went so far as to say that Aaron Cromer would have to change the way the line blocks. If Cook's out, he's the one that runs it like that, so they don't call those plays. Not that they would necessarily be bad doing it, but just it is a bigger change than just that. And, you know, the idea is that Cook does indeed optimize what this offense does.
Mm-hmm.
So, not as easy as just get him out, get somebody else in there. You'll be fine. Toss Darrington Evans back there behind that line. He'll be running through those holes. Not so.
That's really never going to happen, though, right?
What's that?
Ray Davis starting for the Buffalo Bills. Because this year.
You think they would replace Cook if Cook left?
The Cook replacement is not happening now.
No.
Right? Because he's going to play one way or another. I mean, it's possible he is holding in right now.
Yeah.
So it's possible he sits out games. I'm currently not taking that seriously. The idea that he is not going to play games for them this year.
Agree.
Either because they don't have a I think either there's a contract by then or he's returned. So he's playing. And then next year will show up. And if they haven't paid him and he walks, they're going into the season with Ray Davis as the starting running back. He would have had to have a whale of a season, I think, for them to commit to him being like the number one without doing something else at the position. So I'm not saying that Jerry is wrong there at all. I'm just wondering, is Ray Davis ever going to actually be the plan for their top guy?
Yeah.
He's a change of pace guy. He's a physical guy. He could be a short yardage guy.
But if
Cook walks, they're doing something else that probably will try to replace what Cook does.
That's probably right, because think of it this way. Haven't they always sought the Davis? If Davis is the more powerful change of pace, they did that with Zach Moss. They wanted that.
Right.
Not that they're exactly the same player, but they did that with Moss.
Frank Gore, even a little bit.
They did that with Damian Lewis.
Damian Harris, sorry.
I was on Harris, then went to Lewis.
Latavius Murray, big guy.
Desperate, but yeah.
He was big.
They have sought out that more powerful back as a compliment.
Yeah, Moss is really the one. Yeah, Moss was Moss a third round pick. They already had a starting running back, and he was a very specific type of player.
Yeah, he said he wanted to make defenders make business decisions.
Right. So, like, I think that point is right about Ray Davis. I just don't think Ray Davis is ever going to be the guy unless he takes a big step and kind of commands that himself.
Yeah.
It's not like they put a big asset into him. It was a fourth-round pick. It's not nothing for a running back, but it's not a big contract. It's not a day-two pick. It was a fourth-round pick. So what do you do with a fourth-round pick when your starter leaves? You usually pair him with another guy to create a committee if you don't actually even go even further than that and a guy that would definitively be over the top of him. So I'm not really that worried about what they would have to do to change with Ray Davis in there, because I think Cook's the running back this year, and if Cook's not here next year, I think they'll be somebody else I'm excited about.
Yeah. Is this absurd to look up free agent running backs next year?
I don't think it's absurd. I know Jonathan Taylor is off the top of my head. Or I think he is. Pretty sure. What would be absurd is to look up draft running backs, I think, for next year. That would be absurd.
There was a caller to the afternoon show yesterday that suggested the Bills should have planned better for this. And if they had drafted a running back, they'd be better prepared for it. You think there's any feeling on that? The one thing that Brandon Bean told Chris Brown yesterday on One Bills Live was that between the draft and camp, that they had very minimal contact. right? With the agent. So
yeah, right.
It kind of went quiet for a while, and maybe things picked back up around training camp. And at the beginning of this training camp, Bean basically said, like, "Oh yeah, we're in contact." Tom Pelissero pointed out that he didn't feel that the two sides were all that far apart. So, you know, talks had opened back up.
Yeah.
And then this curveball gets thrown in here. I mean, Breece Hall's a UFA next year. Could you see the Bills going after Breece Hall? I think so.
I think he does a lot of what Cook does, right? He's explosive.
Then you have to get to the conversation of, if you have the opportunity to pay Cook and extend him,
why wouldn't you just do it?
As opposed to, right, going into the free agent waters where you're almost always going to overpay in free agency because you have to compete with all the other teams.
Yep.
Right now, Cook might be asking for an overpay, but you just have to convince one player.
Well, I don't know how much they care about this one particular thing, but if you think I'll pay a running back, but if I'm going to pay a running back, the guy's got to be... Is this the most mentioned point about James Cook as to why you wouldn't pay him? Is, well, he doesn't play half the snaps. He's not on the field for me all the time. Where is he on the last couple plays against Kansas City? These are the points that are made to why you wouldn't pay him, because he doesn't pass protect. He's got other guys that got to come in and do other parts of the job. So he's not a workhorse featured back. The size maybe is a part of that too. So he doesn't play half the snaps. Breece Hall plays 72% of the snaps. That's your difference. Breece Hall doesn't come off the field. You get him, and if he stays healthy, he's your running back in every situation. So that would be the difference. And also, would you have to pay him much more lucratively than you would pay Cook? I mean, statistically, Cook's been better. I mean, Cook had more touchdowns last year than Breece Hall has in his career. So statistically, it's not there.
Right. There might be some factors there.
Yeah, the Bills are a better infrastructure for a running back, I think, by a lot.
Yes.
But maybe the Bills would think, if it was that direct a comparison, you would try to capitalize on that. Like, oh, Cook's going to go get paid because in this system, he put up crazy numbers. We think that guy, who went like almost a full round higher than him in the draft, is actually as good, if not even better, but he's been playing for the Jets. So his numbers aren't as good. Let's capitalize on that. Let's get him at a lower number because he's only got 14 touchdowns in his career. He's never had 1,000 yards, even though we've seen it against the Bills. That dude can run. He's explosive.
Mm-hmm.
So
his rush,
that's an idea.
If you want this, I sometimes we'll go to this. Rush yards over expected per attempt last year.
Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall behind Ray Davis.
Really?
Yep.
That's surprising. Okay, well, I don't like that. I don't like that part.
I mean, whatever. Like that stat doesn't have to be the end all be all, but
yep,
he is behind Ray Davis.
They would they not? Well, I guess they could. I was gonna say, would they do something like that if Cook walks, Breece Hall, a running back of that caliber, or they'll draft a guy? But either way, there will be an idea for me. Like there will be a Breece Hall. There will be a third round rookie, well, maybe a second round rookie. But maybe, there will be someone else with Ray Davis.
I hope you're prepared for the first round rookie.
I'm not prepared for that.
Is everyone out there ready for
it?
It's been a couple years since the Bills mock draft having a running back.
Listen, for draft conversation, I would love to have Cook not be signed next spring.
Yeah.
Right? If he's not signed next spring, I mean, it depends what happens. If they win the Super Bowl, we're just probably doing that.
Right.
But otherwise, aren't we spending 2 months on whether they're going to draft a first-round running back next spring? If it's apparent Cook is leaving, well, we'll know actually. Free agency's first. If Cook's gone, and it's just Ray Davis and Ty Johnson,
yeah, running backs.
We're talking about running back in the first round for a month or two.
It's definitely on the menu.
Yeah,
second round.
I mean, it's been almost every time they've needed a guy. When Travis Etienne is in the draft in the first round, he's a finishing piece.
Breece Hall was the guy that was mocked them. They didn't take him. They end up taking Cook that year, right?
Same
draft class.
That's right. So. That's my overarching thought, though, is that I'm never getting to Ray Davis as my lead back. I don't think that's ever in the cards unless he forces that. And for him to force that, he'd have to have, I think, a pretty incredible year.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on James Cook. Anybody got a prediction for how it ends? Is he just they talk today, they're off. Maybe there's a sit down. I mean, Bean also revealed on One Bills Live that he'd never done a deal with this agent.
He's never done a deal with this agent. Nope.
So maybe today it's a day off, you know, hit the golf course, get on the phone, talk something.
Yep. This also is Shamar Stewart's agent, by the way, who had the big run at first round rookie, had a run in with the Bengals on like specific contract language. That did end up getting done, and it was ugly.
It was ugly. He did not ultimately get the language he wanted.
They caved.
But he got more money.
Okay.
He got more money, maybe up front or more guaranteed. I believe what I read was that Shamar Stewart ultimately did not get the language, but he got another concession that he wanted for more money up front, more guaranteed money, whatever.
Okay.
So, anyway.
LAA Sports, by the way, is the name of the agency. Matthew Least is okay.
Maybe today they talk, cooler heads prevail, and Cook is just back working out.
You know why he might have never done a deal with him? Because his NFL PA page, they have pages for the agents, by the way, says contracts negotiated, 2.
Okay.
And one of them is Caden Prather, the Bills' 7th-round rookie.
So then they have done a deal, but that's just like the, you know, the base level. Seventh round, kind of. Yeah. I can't imagine there's not much to negotiate.
Spotrac only lists players for him as James Cook, Shamar Stewart, and Caden Prather. That's it.
Okay.
So that would maybe be an explanation for as to why you've never done a deal with. Maybe it's a newer guy in the block. I'm not sure.
Newer guy, but I don't think it's a new agency. I think that agency.
It's not a new agency.
Yeah.
No.
Right. Okay. Well.
So I don't know.
Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about it with. Sean McDermott is going to join us from training camp tomorrow. So. See if there's any sort of update. Coaches are always put in a weird spot. Players are put in a weird spot. Did you see what Benford said? Christian Benford was asked about this whole scenario, and his answer was effectively, what would you do if you were in this situation? And he said, well, it's just me. I'd probably be here just working to get it, working to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And Benford says, like, the way that I am, I want to, work to prove all the time. Which, when you're someone that got the bag – it's a big deal what Christian Benford got. I'm not saying he's being dishonest. It's if I'm Cook, I might be like, well, all right, that's you. You got paid. Yeah. I didn't. And the other thing worth mentioning is it really is so specific to running back. If you're a corner and you're waiting for that contract, you're waiting to get paid. First off, when you do hit the market, you're going to get paid a lot more. Mm-hmm. A lot more than you are as a running back. And if you're a corner – usually, I shouldn't say usually, whatever. It is not unusual for corners' careers to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a running back, they're going to chew you up and spit you up by the time you're 27, right? Mm-hmm. You're done.
Yeah.
27, you're old. And then I've got, this might be an outlier, but how old is Stephon Gilmore? Is he 35?
He's 35. He's 34? Probably one of the guys that's gone the longest.
Yeah, he's gone the longest. You can routinely make it to your 30s as a good veteran corner.
Yeah. Three, four more years of lifeline, I think, usually get with corner.
Yeah.
Like 30, 31 is about it. But, right, that's three more years usually than most running backs
right.
have.
I feel like every running back would have armor on about, I'll get chewed up and spit out faster than any of you.
Right.
Like, one injury and I'm done. Nick Chubb is a good example of this, right? I mean, he made it a little longer than most.
Yeah.
He's 29. When did he get hurt? Was he 27? He is a Hall of Fame running back talent. Hurt, done. The burst is gone. His career is over.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys come back from it. Peterson was able to do that, but it's just...
But yeah, no, not everybody.
Running backs, they probably know it is very rare to make a third contract. You got to get the second one.
Really? Like, who's a good example? It's a guy who never even got to that first extension. Javonte Williams was a second-round pick, like early second-round pick. And he had, I remember his rookie year, I think he set the record for most yards, what's the forced missed tackle? Forced missed tackle rate.
Yeah.
Like, he set the record for that stat in his rookie season. Had a great rookie year. Year two, right at the beginning, bam, tears his knee up. Like, every ligament in his knee is cooked. And he's not been the same since. And what he just signed for in Dallas, like a one-year vet minimum contract.
Mm.
Like, that guy never got the deal at all because his injury came before he got a chance to hit that big contract. And how many stories of that are you going to have at that position?
Right.
There's going to be a dozen of them, at least.
That's where if you say, like, Cook is either A, getting bad advice, or B, going rogue against what his agent would want, or getting bad advice from his brother. My guess is if you're a running back.
Dalvin Cook, that kind of happened, didn't it?
Yes,
he
Dalvin
got
Cook,
injuries at the end, he and got he's
a, but he
toast.
Got, but he got a big contract. He got right. it. And the whole point is, if you're a running back, you got to do whatever you can at all costs, Why does he want to be here? How could he do this to this team? He's being a me guy. I've got one contract that I'm going to sign that's going to pay me that I can count on. And
for Benford, you might have two.
Right. And listen, injury could end any career. That's every position. But running back especially, you're going to lose your job to somebody younger. They're going to come in cheaper. And it's the position that is paid the least. Look at the franchise tag. Last time we looked at franchise tags, weren't running backs only ahead of special teamers?
And I think there was a time, I don't know if this is still true, where their average was behind kickers. That was true. That maybe isn't true anymore because last year there was a little bit of a hike in the running back salary. But no, they're far behind. Yeah, who did we mention yesterday? Darnell Mooney makes the same amount of money as the top running backs in the league. You're like a good, or let's say like a low-level number two wide receiver is making about the money that the top running backs in the position are making. In the league are making. So that's why I empathize with what Cook's doing and him being aggressive about it and him prioritizing that contract. I don't think he's going to get it. Like, if I were to predict how it ends, I think it ends with him playing for the Bills on the final year of his deal, and if he stays healthy, he will cash in somewhere else. And he'll get his $15 million a year from the Bears.
Might be a good fit.
Or Dallas.
Might be a good fit with the Bears.
The Bears?
Yeah, might be good. Maybe Ben Johnson.
Be their new Jahmyr Gibbs?
Be their Gibbs. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Rookie quarterback contract, too.
803-0550, if you want to chime in. Happy to have you here. Hard Knocks premieres tonight. Tomorrow we'll, of course, have plenty to talk about with it.
Are we going to get a Bills unofficial depth chart in the next couple of days like we're seeing a lot of in the league?
Maybe.
Not that we should really even maybe care about it anyways. Because is there any position where we're like, oh, who's listed here? Because now that Hairston's hurt, like corner's not that.
I guess the only spot I would want to look at, like, right, injuries are going to be a big factor here, but like.
Yeah, like what position would you be interested to know how they list?
I want to know where Curtis Samuel is listed.
At wide receiver?
That's what I want to know. This guy that exists.
Yeah.
But
you think he's going to be behind your guy Wilkerson?
I don't know. I know that Wilkerson's going to play on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And could he, I don't know, could he show out? And if he plays special teams, the same is true of Jalen Virgil or what? Like, I don't know. There's probably not an avenue to get out from under Samuel. I'm not even sure you should really want to. You got to wait. You hate it, but you got to just wait and say, we signed him for a reason. We saw a glimpse of what it could be at the end of the year. Maybe because of that, we don't want to rush him. We're going to be very careful. The turf toe that set him back was a big deal. When he got healthy, it looked right.
Yep.
You know, okay, hamstring. Let's take as much time as he needs because he can be a difference maker. And, you know, so much of this season, so much of this team is about making a difference later. I don't need Curtis Samuel in September. I kind of really don't. Right? When do I need him? When I need that play against the Chiefs. When it's 3rd and 10. And can he be the guy that make a difference? Or 4th and 5, can I get, you know, I need spots in those plays. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe. Sean McDermott will be tomorrow, 9 o'clock hour, we think. A lot going on from camp tomorrow. Our training camp schedule tomorrow we're going to get to. We've already booked like a bunch of guests. Here's tomorrow for you. Tomorrow we're going to check in with Joe Marino, Sal Mariana, and Sean McDermott, and I believe Jerry Ostrowski will also be at camp tomorrow. So nice. big day, second to last day. And then Pete Guelli, Bills and Sabres COO on Thursday. We expect to chat with him. You can give us a ring. Carrington Harrison at 9 on the Chiefs.
On the Chiefs.
What are we hearing about the Chiefs?
They had a couple banged up receivers, right? Worthy and Brown. But in terms of like other storylines, it's their offensive line for me. How's that rookie look? Josh Simmons, who everyone thought would go really high in the first round if he wasn't injured, but he was injured, and now he's not injured. Should I be scared of that? Chiefs got a top 10 level tackle at 32? 31. They didn't win.
That's right. Maybe. Their offense has not been good for 2 years. It's very possible, and I would even think likely, that eventually they just ascend back to the top 5. Wouldn't you think that? I mean, Mahomes having two down years.
In offense?
I think they'll get back there. It's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They'll get back there.
You want to bet it?
You don't think they'll get to a top five? I don't even mean this year. I mean,
oh, okay.
They're going to get back.
Oh, eventually, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This year, I wouldn't bet that. But eventually, yeah, they'll get back to top five. It's at some point, sure.
We'll talk about that with Carrington Harrison coming up. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.